is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, hanging out with you guys on the DraftKings Network on the first Sunday of the National Football League regular season. I got the monitors up here in the studio, Michael, where we have we got ESPN, NFL Network, and we got players on the field warming up. It's good to see guys back out there. The actives and actives is coming out in 30 minutes. We are officially back, and we also have weather, because I guess it wouldn't be a week one without some weather games as well here.
Yeah, it's funny. When you travel in the winter, everybody panics about the weather. When air travel in the winter is much easier than air travel in the summer, because the storms pop up out of nowhere, the thunder, the lightning, and the rain and all that. And that's a little bit the same thing that happens on NFL games. The playing in the cold, you prepare for it. You know, you understand it. You got it. You get the frozen footballs. You learn how to catch it. Preparing for the heat is really challenging, because it taxes you. You need to have the ability to regain yourself, because at some point during the game, with the heat, humidity, you kind of wear down. That's why halftime's so important. You'll see a lot of teams do the IVs at halftime. People don't realize in the Atlanta Super Bowl against New England, you know, if that Super Bowl's not as long, those players couldn't have gotten two IVs, which would have affected them in the second half. Really helped. The long halftime helps give you some more IVs, especially on a hot, humid day where you're running extensively. That's the game this week. That's the month of September in the NFL. So it is going to play a role, and that's why you have to rotate players through. Mm-hmm. It doesn't seem as prohibitive as it's been, because it doesn't seem as hot, but we're going to have some weather, and you're going to have to rely on some depth. That's going to be the case. I mean, Nick Bosa is not going to be able to play 80 plays. If he does, they won't be 80 effective plays, right? Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to rotate players in. And once again, understand the game's coming down to the fourth quarter. You got to keep those guys healthy and fresh in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, which is even more paramount in today's football when we see guys not really play in the preseason. So you go from playing at most maybe a series or so to now playing four quarters of football. Like that's a lot. And especially it's four quarters of intense football. So keep in mind on that. Like, guys start to cramp up a little bit here. So hydration and those IVs at halftime are really, really important for these guys to stay on the field. But speaking of the weather, sounds like we will have some showers all throughout that northeast area. We even have a graphic for our viewing audience to go ahead and illustrate the Sunday weather games. But in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, the Baltimore Ravens hosting the Houston Texans, scattered showers likely. Of course, that means scattered showers possible for the Washington Commanders game, that over in Landover, Maryland, as they host the Arizona Cardinals. But I think the game that might be most affected might be over in Foxborough, Eagles at the Patriots, scattered showers possible there. And also Sunday Night Football with the Giants in Jersey, scattered showers as well. So maybe hoping there's no thunderstorms or lightning delays or anything like that, but sounds like we'll get some storms passing through the Northeast.
Well, nobody likes weather games more than the head coach, Bill Belichick. I mean, nobody likes to water down footballs more than he does. So
he's the one that's turning it on.
Nobody likes to take the water over to the ball and just squirt it before the snap. You know, I think nobody loves that more than he does. So yeah, I mean, look, players are used to it. You know, it's funny. They've eliminated the stick'em, the Fred Biletnikoff stick'em from the game. Have you ever put on one of those gloves that they catch the ball with? I mean, they're lined in stick'em.
Yep.
So the weather really doesn't affect it as much as you might think.
Yeah, no, those gloves, it's like it's hard to drop passes with those gloves on, man.
Thing gets in there, yeah.
Like, I've tried to, like, rub the glove against my, like, skin. I was like, oh, I'm about to rip my skin off if I go any further here. But, yeah, the technology these days, they made it advantageous to catch passes. So just for people to keep that in mind, if you see some of these totals maybe start to move around as we get closer to kickoff, that could be weather-related. So before you make your bets, just make sure you kind of looking at the forecast. Neither of us is a meteorologist. Like, I didn't get into this, become a meteorologist or anything like that, but just something to keep in mind for folks before they make their wagers. All right, let's get to some of the marquee early slate games. These games kicking off in less than 2 hours. And the one that we're really excited about, 49ers at the Steelers. We've seen a little bit of line movement today. The 2.5s now gone, now 2 straight across the board with the Niners as a road favorite. Total 41.5. If you like physical football, if you like well-coached teams, this is the game for you.
Well, I think if you like chess, this is the game too. Because when you play the 49ers, you're playing a team that is going to be the new modern team that we're going to start to see in the NFL, which is positionless football. You got a team here that has guys that can play multiple positions all over the field, which makes them positionless. I know that sounds strange, but that's what it is. When you can line up Samuel in the backfield and McCaffrey in the slot, or McCaffrey in the backfield with Samuel in the slot, and you can move people around, it becomes a problem. And Kittle adds that into the problem. Now, they say he is going to play today, and having him play will make a difference. So for Mike Tomlin in this game, it's challenging, because if Tomlin is going to go to his sub defense, which means Watts on the end of the line, and so is Hightower, right? Highsmith. That's really important, right? They got those guys on the end of the line, and it, and they'll play really well. But now that matches up with they got to be able to hold up against Kyle Shanahan's run game. So your nickel run defense is going to be the key, because what I suspect that's going to happen in this game is Tomlin's going to play. He's practiced for 2 months practicing nickel against what Kyle wants to do. That gives him a chance to match up when they start moving people around. To me, that's the game within the game here. And that's what's going to make this game so interesting. And it's going to be first quarter, determine what it is. Second and third quarter, adjust it out. And fourth quarter will be a standalone game. I'm excited for this one. And then we're going to watch Dan Moore, who held off Broderick Jones, the first-round pick out of Georgia. Held him off as a starting left tackle. This offensive line is much better in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, because I know we've talked a lot about Pittsburgh's defense against San Francisco's offense. But what about San Francisco's defense against that Pittsburgh offense in particular, that Pittsburgh offensive line, which I thought at the second half of last year started playing a little bit better, and they've kind of picked up where they've left off.
Well, you know, one thing about San Francisco is they have changed and adapted over the course. When Robert Saleh went back to the Jets and became the head coach, and DeMeco Ryans came in for two seasons, Kyle moved him away from Seattle 3. They still run Seattle 3, but he moved him away and gave him a deeper portfolio and said, look, we need more things to help out the players. We just can't line up in one front, one coverage, and think we're going to win. Teams are good at doing this. So they changed and they went through it. And I think ultimately that really helped. And then they bring in Steve Wilks, who's really not from the Seattle 3 school. He's not from that school. He's from he has his own style. And I think he'll utilize the players. They'll play a little bit more man when they have to play. Rely on that front. You know, they can rely on the front and the speed of their linebackers. Between Greenlaw and Warner, they cover a ton of ground. And Hufanga, he's unbelievable. You know, the where he is all over the field. So the key, though, has been Ward. You know, they finally get a corner that they feel like can cover one-on-one when they signed him from Kansas City, and I think that certainly helps. They have depth in their defensive front with Hyder and Kinlaw coming in off the bench. So it's they wear you down. They wear you down. And then let's not forget, too, that Wisniewski, their punter, is the best inside the 20 punter in the National Football League. So they're going to put the ball inside. They're going to control field position because of him. And then conversely, 49er fans, Stormy listening, you're going to worry about Jake Moody the whole game, because it's a tough place to kick in that stadium with the wind coming in from the open end. It's tough to kick there. And also, he hasn't been kicking very well this summer. Now, he was a great kicker at Michigan, so it can turn around. But, you know, when you're in a 2.5-point line game, that field goal kicker is really someone you're counting on to help you.
Yeah, points will be at a premium. Like we mentioned, the total is down to 41.5. So field position, punting, like all these special teams things that people don't think about on the surface, it's going to matter, and it's likely going to be the difference between who wins and who loses this game. I can't wait for it. We'll give our picks out later on this hour, but I have a play in this game from the contest standpoint there. Went ahead and got my Circa Millions picks in yesterday afternoon. Another fun game on the early slate, Bengals at the Browns, and we have seen some recent line movement on this one. Where I'm sitting at Circa, Michael, this is now down to Bengals 1-point favorites. DraftKings has that too. The consensus is 1.5, but Circa has it at 1, with the total being 47 or 46.5, depending on where you shop.
This is one that I've had on my card all summer and fall, because I think when you look at the matchups, and especially when you look at Cleveland's improvement as a football team this offseason, it helps. Last year, they played them in Cleveland. Cleveland won the game easily. You know, they can pressure the quarterback. Now, you might say, as a negative to that, as a counterbalance, well, the Bengal offensive line wasn't good last year. They're much better this year. True. But let me say this. You know, Jonah Williams thinks that when he moved from left tackle to right tackle for Cincinnati, he's not going to see Myles Garrett. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think Miles is going to go over there and say, hello, Mr. Williams, here I come. And then you got Adarius Smith on the other side, and the speed of the Browns defense. Denzel Ward went through concussion protocol. He will play. And I think Schwartz is going to be the biggest factor for the Browns this year. For all the moves they made, the two best moves in the offseason they made was hiring Bubba Ventrone, their special teams coach, because special teams killed them last year, and also hiring Jim Schwartz, because Schwartz, one thing Schwartz is really good at doing is taking away the run game. His defense with his wide nines, his ability to rush the passer, play strong inside out, he makes the game one-dimensional. And when he makes it one-dimensional and you have to throw it, his strength is rushing the passer. So it becomes a little bit of a different game, and I think that's going to favor. I like the matchup for Cleveland today. I really do. I think Cleveland, it's time. It's time. Mm. Cleveland either needs to get it going now, or what are they doing? They're really good. They have a talented team. And I think ultimately Cincinnati will be a very good team this year, but we know they start a little slower because of kind of how they always have played. They don't take a lot of time in the offseason. They kind of rest. And they, you know, they've been 5-4 the last 2 years, and eventually they become, they've really taken over.
Before we head to break, I want to let you know that Cleveland was the most bet team in the Circa Million that came out yesterday. Cleveland plus 2.5. So a lot of folks like the Browns.
That makes you nervous. I think if you follow those best bets in the Circa Millions, you're probably not going to do very well.
Yeah. Well,
I'm just telling you, I've charted this.
Yeah.
We'll start charting it.
We should start charting it there. I sent Elliot all the consensus picks.
I have the Bill 80 email. I'm going to put it in my spreadsheet. I will do that. I'll start charting it.
All right. We'll be back on the other side to break down more of these games and a fun fact from the NFC South next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nobody knows football like VSiN, and now is the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get all the tools to prep for college and pro games every week. Our picks page recapping all the best bets from guests and hosts throughout the day in one convenient place. This season, we have a top VSiN expert leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. And our betting splits let you know where the money and bets are moving every game. The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings betting data every 5 minutes. You can see changes in all the action. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe for all your options and become part of the sports betting network. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line. 45 minutes to go here on the program. The actives and inactives coming up here in 15 minutes. So those will start to flood our Twitter, our X timelines a little bit later. We'll get to know who's in and who's out. But we do have some games that we have to break down. And Michael, I went to break teasing this nugget from the NFC South. And I'm sure you saw this, but I think it's really interesting. This is from ESPN's Adam Schefter, courtesy of Elias Sports. But all four NFC South teams will have a different starting quarterback to open this season than they did in week one of last season. The only other division in NFL history in which every team had a different starting QB from one season opener to the next was the 1973 AFC West. So a lot of turnover in the NFC South, which probably means a lot of uncertainty from a handicapping standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is going to be the year, right? I think we're going to have continued uncertainty, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be the case, right? It takes some time to figure these teams out. It takes some time to understand who they are, and especially when you have so many new quarterbacks. Like, we've got four new quarterbacks. We've got Howell and the three rookies, and Dobbs, that's five. You got to spend some time figuring out what they do well and how you can put them in the best position.
Well, speaking of the NFC South, let's pick up right there where we have Bryce Young as a rookie going up against Desmond Ridder, who has started four games. And Desmond Ridder's Atlanta Falcons are 3.5-point favorites. The total is at 40. I know this is a game that you were looking to stay clear and stay far away from as the Hall & Oates special.
Yeah, I just, to me, it's always a challenge to deal with too many unknowns, right? And that's what I'm concerned with. I'm concerned with the unknown of Atlanta's defense. I'm concerned of the unknown of the Carolina offensive line, which was good last year, but not good this summer, which scared the hell out of me. And I'll be honest. I mean, they were really good last summer, but they couldn't. And then I'm scared of the fact that Chark's hurt, Thielen's hurt. Now, we're going to find out in 15 minutes whether he's going to play or not, but that's a problem. Marshall's hurt. You know, Chenault, who's I think is an excellent yards after the catch receiver, not as good as A.J. Brown, but he's like A.J. Brown in the way he plays. where are they throwing the football to, you know? Mm-hmm. And with this whole offensive line thing in flux, I think it becomes a problem. So, you know, and then you take Atlanta, every guy on the defensive front's over 30 years old. Have they improved defensively? I think they have, but we're going to have to see it on the tape. Playing at home, Carolina beat them twice last year. Well, lost to them in Atlanta on the DJ Moore take your helmet off. But these teams are always relatively close. I just don't – I have so many uncertainties, Femi. I just said, you're better off staying away.
Yeah, and on the Adam Thielen front, it was reported earlier today that he is expected to play. So good news for the Panthers for Adam Thielen, the wide receiver that come over from Minnesota after about a decade in the Twin Cities. So Adam Thielen looks like he will be in, but DJ Chark has been ruled out. That happened on Friday for the Carolina Panthers. But I'm like you, that offensive line for Carolina scared the hell out of me in the preseason. Like, that's like, I wanted to be high on this team entering the season, and maybe they get it corrected in the second half. But as we've talked about with Frank Reich's teams early on, they tend to start slow. So I see you with the staying away, the Hall & Oates play, because that's one I think there's a little bit too much uncertainty.
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay, you know, to me, like, I know we haven't talked officials today very much.
Oh, gosh.
But there's certain guys, you know, you worry about doing games. I mean,
who's on that
New England's got Sean Hockley today. That, you know, he's going to call a lot of penalties. And then my man Scott Novak, Mike Palm's favorite official, you know, he's going to be in Minnesota. You know, he's going to call a penalty on the opening kickoff. I can promise you that. That flag's coming down. He, you know, he's convinced people are paying to watch him officiate. I don't know how that works.
Scott Novak, he's the one that loves the roughing the passer, putting body weight on the quarterback. Isn't he the one that loves that one? When it looks like a normal sack, and then he calls roughing the passer?
I mean, how can you? I have no idea. I mean, I just know he calls way too many things. And you know, and Palm, who will be on with you after this in the next show, he's very good at kind of handicapping the – I don't buy into the over and under theory on the officials, all that. I think if you really want to read about officials, Rick Goslin does a tremendous job on his website. Rick Goslin, former Dallas Morning News writer, NFL columnist, Hall of Fame voter, he does a great job on that. And so he breaks them all down. But, you know, when you get a guy that you know is going to call – I mean – it's challenging. You've got to make sure your team understands this team will call this.
Yeah. I think that we're going to get our first body weight on the QB roughing the passer, and I'm going to lose my mind. So I've already kind of come to terms with the fact that it's going to happen at some point today on Sunday, but hopefully it doesn't happen in the key spot.
I think Femi, I went through it. We have two really relatively young officials in this game too. And I think that's going to be an issue, right? You got to be careful there. Arizona, Washington, I think it's Trey Burke is one of the young officials. I think he hasn't done very many games, so it's kind of hard to predict that. That's another layer you add into it, you know, that you say, oh, my, no. You know, no, Trey Burke is in Houston, Baltimore.
Uh-oh.
And then we have the Washington. Let me see it here. I got it right here.
I know they gave they gave the gold watch to our guy Jerome Boger. I think he's off to retirement now. He's no longer.
Yeah, I think he is. Oh, and Washington has a new official, Alan Irk, who is 1 year in the league, and he's 12-15 for the home team, 8-16 against the spread.
Well, all right. The officials, they're going to be a storyline at some point. So I guess we should just come to terms and deal with it right now. You wish they weren't, but it is what it is. You mentioned that Buccaneers and Vikings game. It's a game that we haven't talked about yet, but I want to get your thoughts on it. The line is down to 4. It opened at 6.5. There was even a 7 earlier this summer. Minnesota has been bet against aggressively leading up into this game here. Totals at 45.5. We will see Baker Mayfield starting at quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there against Kirk Cousins, Kevin O'Connell, and the crew.
Yeah, look, this is one of those where Minnesota's defense, and certainly they weren't very good last year. Numerically, they were horrible. I think they will be better. You know, Brian Flores is a really good defensive coordinator. I thought he was a good head coach, and he got fired down in Miami, but he's a really good defensive coordinator. I think a lot of the success in Pittsburgh last year, especially in the second half of the season, was he was on that staff. I think he did a really good job for them. I think he'll continue to do a good job here. And this Minnesota offense can move the football effectively. But the strength of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team this summer is going to be their defense. And Mayfield just has to protect the football. This could be a game where Tampa, with their skill players, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they can move it. Now, can they run it? They were 32nd in every single statistical category in rushing last year. I think they know they can't go in there and throw it 50 times with Baker Mayfield. So I think they'll make a conscious effort to run the football. And I think the reason this line is coming down a little bit is because the strength of Tampa is their defense against the strength of Minnesota. So you've got that going for you. And the weakness of Tampa is their offense against the weakness of Minnesota. So it kind of plays itself out as maybe these two teams are closer than you might think. And it's funny. Both of them are playoff teams.
Yeah, that's true. I totally forgot about that. I didn't even think of
it. Nobody talks about that. These are two former playoff teams that were one and done last year. But a three-point line move, to me, look, that's a significant line move from the opening. And I don't know what Tampa did this summer to make you feel like they deserve to have that line movement, but people see it.
These aren't just playoff teams. These are division winners from last year, Michael, the Buccaneers and the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah. Of course, a different situation in Tampa. No longer Tom Brady, now Baker Mayfield. So the market is not expecting much from the Buccaneers as a whole, but I think the market's just aggressively fading Minnesota. I think there's some bad blood between the betting market and the Vikings after the high wire act that the Vikings were pulling off last season. So maybe the betting market's trying to get a little bit more on Minnesota here. Hopefully it's not an emotional bet against the Vikings there. We'll see what happens later this afternoon. The Saints and the Titans, this is another interesting game. There's been a little bit of push-pull in the market. Got as low as 2.5. There's even still a 2.5 minus 110 in one spot here, but I'm seeing 3 even money in favor of New Orleans. Total is at 42.
Femi, nobody is playing. Nobody is betting New Orleans, and the line won't move. The line hasn't moved a lick. I mean, look at it. Look at it. It stays consistently at 3, and now I'm getting some indications that around there's going to be some shops that'll go to 2.5. And we'll see. I mean, DraftKings here in New Jersey right now, they're still at 3. Mm-hmm. And, but there is an indication that shops around will go. It opened at 3.5.
Yep.
It moved to 3 pretty quickly, and now it stayed there. And my hesitation with going in on Tennessee against New Orleans, I think New Orleans is really good on defense. That's the strength of their team. Their offensive line is good. They'll protect Carr. I love Vrabel. I really do. I think he's a great coach. But he hasn't been great on opening day. He has not been great. Arizona went in there and whooped their butt last year at home. 2 years ago. And then last year, the Giants went into Nashville and whooped their butt and then won the game in the fourth quarter. That kept me a little bit away. Maybe his team's going to take some time. We'll find out how good Tennessee's offensive line is, this new line against a very good front for New Orleans.
All right. Later on in the show, we'll get to the actives and inactives. Also, our picks for this first Sunday in the NFL. But coming up next, Michael Lombardi's power ratings and top quarterbacks here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Our very own Michael Lombardi has just written his second book called Football Done Right, setting the record straight on the coaches, players, and history of the NFL. Now, for a limited time, you can get a free copy of Michael's new book when you become a VSiN Pro annual subscriber. Just sign up on a new VSiN Pro annual subscription today and use promo code Lombardi. Get an entire year of VSiN Pro access to our daily best bets, season prep betting guides, 24/7 video, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits. Remember to use promo code Lombardi when you sign up for a VSiN Pro annual subscription to get your free copy of the book. This is a limited time offer, so sign up at VSiN.com/subscribe today. And to repeat what Michael said in hour number one, if you would like, hit him up and you can get a signed copy of Football Done Right. We'll get that thing worked out for you guys as well. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, hanging out on the DraftKings Network. Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. Actives and inactives should be coming out shortly for the early games. We'll keep our eyes on that. But let's get to, Michael, your power rankings of the top 10 teams in the National Football League. And you wanted to sort of preface with these rankings as well before we kind of dive into which the teams are 1 through 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think that this is so challenging to when you do power rankings. If you do it just based on visualization, you open yourself up to so many chances to make a mistake, right? And I think that becomes a problem. But then if you as you go through it at the beginning of the season, where are you getting your data? Where are you getting your data points? And for me, my data points come from a lot of the statistics that I believe determine winning. There's so many statistics out there that, when you really boil down how teams win and why teams lose. It's, you know, obviously deeper than just who wins the turnover battle. So there's a lot of different things that play into it. Fourth quarter, conversions on third down, all those things. So you add that pool up and you come up with kind of a consensus number, and then that number gives you your power ranking. So you keep it subjective. You keep it kind of out of your own personal bias. Hard week one. So week one has a lot of adjustments. Like, I have a lot of teams in that kind of cluster, if you will, of, you know, like I would say, as I wrote about in my write-up on Friday this week, from like Cleveland down to, you know, Detroit, those teams are all kind of clustered together. Mm-hmm. And I think to say one's better than the other is probably unfair, because we just don't have enough data.
Yeah, no, and it's very tricky, and power ratings are fluid. You're going to make adjustments, whether upgrades or downgrades, reacting to the data that we actually start to get coming up later this afternoon. So let's get into your power rankings. Who you have at the top spot in the National Football League?
Well, I think, you know, it went into last week's game. I still have New England in there as the top spot. I mean, excuse me, Kansas City still in there in the top spot. Because, look, as John Madden says, you're the champion until you're not. Mm-hmm. Now, I think by next week's power ranking, they will not be number one, because we saw what their problems are without two of their best players on the field. That's going to alter you. Will they drop to 32? No, we're not going there, right? So let's relax. But then Philadelphia, San Francisco, Buffalo, the Bengals, the Ravens, I thought were a little high, but their numbers are always so consistent. I thought Jacksonville was a little too high for me, but again, I thought it was, you know, and I put the Browns in there at 9, because I'm of the believer, if it's not now, when for the Browns? Like, when are they going to turn this around? They paid their quarterback $250 million. They guaranteed all of it. He's got to play well. Do you think he can? I think he can. You know, some people don't think he'll turn the corner. I thought he looked better this preseason. You know, they're not showing you everything what they're going to do offensively. Mm-hmm. I think the time is now.
Yeah, I think people want to kind of see the timing of the offense and just him a little bit more comfortable. But like you mentioned, they're not going to show you everything. And Deshaun Watson, he has once showed us that he has top five quarterback capabilities. So maybe last year was just a blip in the radar, as he was still working off the rust from missing time for about, I think, 700 days or so it was with the Cleveland Browns. So you got Cleveland there at number 9. Minnesota at 10, I think a lot of people will take gumption with that one. But like you mentioned, this is off of last year's data points as well. I think a lot of folks would have Minnesota a little bit lower than 10, but we have time to adjust. It's just week one.
You can take all the shots you want at it. Yeah. I think in week one, nobody's going to prove out to have the best power rankings.
Exactly.
I think, you know, a lot of it is perception. A lot of it is some last year, some, you know, there's a lot of assumptions in the power rankings this year. And I think you have to be really careful. You have to be careful with assuming. That's why I said my pack of teams from Cleveland all the way down to Detroit is really an assumption.
Yeah, and if your power rankings were 100% accurate, I would tell you to not share these. We would be living on an island and would be betting these power numbers and making oodles and oodles of money. So we're all working towards the actual power rating numbers throughout the early portion of the season. Let's get to your top quarterbacks, though. These are the quarterbacks that are the most impactful guys, the most valuable guys to this point spread. And it's your blue chip quarterbacks that we talked about on our GM Shuffle podcast, the top five QBs, according to your numbers, yeah. Michael, when you take a look at the tape.
Well, this is something you have to, if you're doing any handicapping at home and you're getting ready for the games, you have to do this list every single day, and you cannot rely just on QBR or Football Outsiders. You got to watch the game. You got to study the game. You got to understand that the throw that a guy makes, anybody could make, and then the throw that he makes, no one could make, right? You got to separate the two. What is the offense doing for the system, right? You know, you throw a crossing route and, you know, and you complete it against man coverage and they run mesh and pick off the guy, you know, that's on the scheme. That's not as much on the quarterback. Now he still has to deliver an accurate ball. You got to pay close attention to missing open receivers. I've talked about this a lot on the show, the percentage of missing the target. We're going to see Anthony Richardson miss targets today, you know, and he's going to have to try to be better than 25%. Of that, which is what mostly the time Josh Allen, all these guys come in the league, that's what they are. So I will constantly modify and adjust this quarterback list as the games unfold based on watching tape.
And I think it's important to note that four of your five top quarterbacks reside in the AFC, which kind of matches up with what we've talked about throughout this offseason, that the AFC is the superior conference to the NFC. That's not to throw shade at Philadelphia or anything like that. The Eagles are obviously really good. They came within a couple of plays of winning the Super Bowl, and they probably have an easier path to get to said Super Bowl. But the AFC is the stronger conference, at least heading into the season. Things can change. We always open that up. Things can change. But right now, the AFC, the superior conference. Let's get, though, to some of these actives and inactives that have just come out here within the last 5 minutes here. I want to get your thoughts on these. We do know that now Vikings pass rusher Marcus Davenport is out. Condre Miller for the New Orleans Saints, running back, the rookie, he is out. So no Alvin Kamara. He's suspended. Condre Miller is out with an injury. So the Saints a little bit banged up at running back. Falcons running back, our favorite, Cordarrelle Patterson, he is out. But, of course, they have Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier. Yeah, they got a lot of guys there.
So Patterson's been on the injury report all week, practiced a little bit on Thursday, was not sure he was going to play. You know, so that was something. And New Orleans' rookie running back, everybody knew he wasn't going to play. So, again, these are two injuries that the teams had plenty of time to prepare for that come at no surprise.
Yep. And then Hollywood Brown and Zach Ertz, they are active for the Arizona Cardinals. So both of those pass catchers for the Cardinals active. Baltimore Ravens tight end, we talked about this earlier in the show in the first hour, but Mark Andrews, he is out dealing with his injury. George Kittle, the San Francisco 49ers tight end, is in. So Kittle active, Andrews inactive, as we continue to see big name tight ends injured. Of course, Travis Kelce, chief among them, Thursday night missing that game for the Kansas City Chiefs. So those are the actives and inactives, at least of the bigger names. A lot of these offensive players, I know fantasy football players are always curious to see who's active and who's inactive. But now with that all established here, we can continue to break down some of these games here. I know we were talking about Tennessee and New Orleans in the last segment there. I lean towards Tennessee, even at plus three. I bet plus 3.5 earlier, but that number's not there anymore. If it's at 3 minus 120, that'd just be a lean. 3 minus 110 would be a bet for me, if anyone can go ahead and find that number here. But before we kind of go and get onto our picks here and run down the board here, any words of advice for people that they should know before betting these week one games? Because we're about 90 minutes away from kickoff. What advice would you have for folks that are starting to build out that NFL week one card?
Don't have too many home teams winning. I think this is an open forum today. The eight teams, if you look over the last 5 years, 38, 39, and 1 against the spread home teams. It's not a slam dunk. Road doggies are good. And then I think the also thing you have to look at is these conference matchups in between. You know, it's Cleveland, Cincinnati, Seattle, the Rams. Those games are typically a lot closer than you might think. And so you've got to be really aware of that. And if the line seems a little bit longer, it doesn't look great on paper. Don't be scared. I think sometimes we get caught up in, oh my God, like I can't take Washington and lay 7. I'm not recommending that, but I think sometimes you just have to get past being scared of it. The other thing I would say is try to be more on the side of the book than on the public. Like if you took New Orleans in the 3 today, you're with the book, and because nobody else is doing it. No one else is doing it, and the books usually win those. I keep track of it every single week, Femi. You know, and I try to, and I start on Monday of the teams that have no money on them. Carolina, no money. New Orleans, no money. San Francisco, no money. Cincy, no money. Rams, no money. Now, I can promise you, of those 5, if you took all 5, I'll bet you end up 3-2.
Yeah. Well, maybe words of advice there to go ahead and be on the side of the sports books. Real quick before we head to break, our last break here on the program, do you think scoring will be up or down here for week number one?
I think a lot of it depends on the officiating, how they call this. I think it would be up typically. Yeah. But again, they can, you know, do I think it'll be up in Philly and New England with the rain and Sean Hockley or Minnesota with my man Scott Novak? I think you have to be really careful. Sometimes they control this thing by their calls.
All right. We'll wrap up the show on the other side, running the board and giving out our picks for Sunday's week one.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We went 7 months without an NFL game, but the wait is over. The NFL is back, and an official sports betting partner of the NFL is our friends over at DraftKings, and the DraftKings is giving you a can't-miss offer for week number one. This week, new customers can get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL game. Download now and use code VEGAS to sign up. New customers can take home $200 in bonus bets instantly just for betting $5. That's code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Week one, first Sunday of the regular season. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi out in the great state of New Jersey. Michael, you ready? Fasten the seatbelt, man. Ready to run the board here? We got 10 minutes to go. Let's get down to these games.
I am ready. Let's do it. Absolutely.
All right. Well, let's do it. Starting at the top of the board, Carolina Panthers at the Atlanta Falcons. Right now, the Falcons, 3.5-point favorites. Total is sitting at 40.5. Not much movement with the side. A little movement to the over here. Your final thoughts on this NFC South clash?
I mean, this is not one of my plays today, but if I had to make a bet, I would take it. DraftKings took a $100,000 bet on the over at 39.5 earlier today. I would take Atlanta and lay the points.
All right. Well, this is not a bet for me, but it is my Circa Survivor play. I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons, and this is strictly a fade of our buddy Frank Reich in week number one. I think that they have nicknamed his training camp Resorts World, the hotel that's out here in Las Vegas. That's what's going on at Panthers training camp from what I saw in the preseason. I think that offensive line's a little shaky. Injuries at wide receiver.
No, you need to write that down for the GM shuffle tomorrow. His Resort World quote. We got to see if that doesn't come through. You know we're going to get on him, Elliot. Write that down.
Write that one down. I think they named the hotel after his training camps. But I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not super high on this team, but I think they can go ahead and get this thing done. And if you're just comfortable making survivor bets, you're not going to win. You got to get a little uncomfortable. We're getting uncomfortable early. Atlanta for me for survivor. Let's continue to go down. Houston Texans at the Baltimore Ravens. Ravens 9.5-point favorites. Total 43.5.
Well, I mean, DraftKings took $182,500 bet on the Houston Texans at plus 10. That's why probably the number went down to 9.5. I'm going to take the Texans only because I think this Ravens secondary is suspect. I don't know if they can rush the passer. I worry about Houston's offensive line. It's going to be a new configuration. A lot of young players in that line. A lot of guys hurt in that line. And that's always dangerous traveling on the road in Baltimore. Lamar Jackson, new offense. 9.5 is a lot of points. I'll take the points, Femi.
Yep, no play for me in this one. Important to note, Mark Andrews inactive, dealing with a quad injury. So no Mark Andrews, a star tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. The AFC North clash, Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Bengals, 1-point road favorites, total 46.5.
I've liked the Browns all summer. I'll take the points. I think the Browns win outright.
Yeah, I think they went outright as well. The Browns are one of my circa millions pick. Plus 2.5 was the contest line, but I think the Browns' money line, you go ahead, plus 102 if you want to go ahead and do that. I like Cleveland to win the game. Jacksonville at the Indianapolis Colts. This is down to 3.5 in favor of the Jaguars on the road. Total 46, Anthony Richardson making his home debut.
Yeah, this is a hard one for me. I didn't play this one at all, but I would take the Colts. I would take the home dog. I think the Colts defense will play well today. I'm not sold that the Jaguars defense will play great. I don't expect great things out of Richardson. I think it'll be a close game. I think it's a three-point game. I'll take the points.
Let's head to the Twin Cities Vikings hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Minnesota 4-point favorites, total 45 in this contest where everyone is betting aggressively against last year's luck box that is Skull Vikings.
Yeah, I'll take Tampa in the points. I think it's a close game. Both teams have liabilities, as we talked about, on both sides of the ball. I'll take Tampa in the points. I don't love it. It wouldn't be a play for me typically, but I would take Tampa.
Tampa is a play for me in the Circa Million, plus 5.5. So that is one of my five plays in the Circa Million. I did not bet it with my own money, but it's in the Circa Million. Let's go to the Bayou, though. The Saints hosting the Tennessee Titans. New Orleans hanging on as a 3-point favorites, 3 even money. The consensus line, total 42.
This isn't a play for me, but I would take New Orleans. I started out liking New Orleans in the game. I think Vrabel's team and their offensive line will struggle as they're coming together. And even though they're really good, I think the Saints are good on defense. I'll take New Orleans and lay the 3.
All right. I took Tennessee plus 3.5 earlier this summer. Tennessee also a Circa Million play for me at plus 3. So we're going head-to-head Titans and the Saints. I'll text you about this game a little bit later on this afternoon. The Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the San Francisco 49ers. Niners 2-point road favorites, total 41.5.
Yeah, I've liked the Steelers the whole time here. I'll take the Steelers in the points. I worry that no one's betting San Francisco. I like Pittsburgh. I like Mike Tomlin in opener.
I missed the 3, so I didn't bet it with my own money, but plus 2.5 is a contest play for me. Give me Pittsburgh plus 2.5. Even at plus 2, I think you can get a little bit frisky. If you want to tease it, whatever, play money line, do what you want to do, but I like Pittsburgh in this game. To our nation's capital, the Commanders sold out FedEx Field. They're hosting the Arizona Cardinals. Commanders 7-point favorites, total is at 38.
I'm going to take Arizona in the points here.
Ooh.
Just because I think it's too many points. It'll be a closer game. I mean, look, they play hard. They play fast. it can create some problems. I think it's a low-scoring game, too, but I'll take Arizona and the points.
Nothing for me in this one, but I'll be rooting for Arizona as somebody who is invested in Survivor. Packers at the Bears, the afternoon slate. Chicago, a one-point home favorite, total 41.
Yeah, I typically like the Packers here. I think it's a pick 'em game, essentially. I just worry about their receiving core. I think the Packers' defense can create some points and turn it over. I'll take the Packers.
No play for me in this game. Christian Watson is out for the Green Bay Packers. Romeo Doubs should be active, but he will be on a pitch count, so keep that in mind for Green Bay. To the Rocky Mountains, the Broncos hosting the Raiders. Denver, three-point favorites, 3-120, total 43.
You won't get me to play any team that the Raiders are playing. I have two sons. I'm rooting for the Raiders completely. This is on you, Femi.
I am rooting for the Raiders. I took +4.5 earlier this summer. I also sprinkled a little bit on the money line. Anything over three, if you can still find a 3.5 out there in the market, I recommend it. But that is my stance on this game. Hopefully the Raiders win the game because I have them on the money line as well as +4.5, I should say. Let's get to the LA Chargers and the Miami Dolphins. Chargers, three-point favorites, total 51.
I took them. This is one of my plays. I took it for Chris Russo at 5 o'clock on Friday on the Mad Dog Radio, and I like it here. I'll take the Dolphins in three. I think the Dolphins can offset the Charger offense. I think the Dolphins will run the football more, and I think Vic Fangio will make a difference.
I also bet the Chargers, or sorry, the Dolphins +3. Sorry. I bet Dolphins +3. That number is still widely available. That's not a contest play for me, but I do like Miami to win the game against the LA Chargers. Those are two evenly matched teams, so let's roll the dice and go with the team that's getting the points. Eagles at the Patriots. We're expecting a little bit of weather, scattered showers. One of our viewers said that it just started pouring in the Foxborough area, so look out for that before you make your bets on the total. But Eagles, 3.5-point favorites, total 44.5.
I think the line came too far down. I'll take Philly and lay the 3.5. I love Tom Brady. Congratulations. Thank you for my two Super Bowl rings, Mr. Brady. Enjoy your day. It's a hard game for the Patriots, especially up front.
Yeah, if I could ever get a 3, I'd bet Philly. But at 3.5, it's a pass for me. No play with my money. No play in the contest. Right. You're laughing. That's a big difference, Michael. Quit laughing. The Rams at the Seahawks. The Seahawks are 5-point favorites at home. Total 45.5. Cooper Kupp on IR for L.A.
I took it at 5. I love it at 5.5. I think the Rams will play this really close. I think Stafford will play well today.
Rams outright?
No, I didn't say that. I said I'll
just ask. Just asking a follow-up question.
I'm not playing them. I mean, I took the points. I think it's too many points. Last year in two games, the Seattle won by 7 combined.
All right. Well, no play for me in that game. I stayed away. The Cowboys at the Giants, Sunday Night Football. Dallas, a 3-point favorite, 3-120, total 45.
I think the Dallas offensive line injuries are significant. I took the Giants in 3.5. With Russo, it's down to 3. I still would take the Giants today.
Yeah, I'm in lockstep with you. I took Giants +3.5 earlier. I have it +3 in the contest. I would still recommend +3. I think those O-line issues for Dallas are going to be a little bit problematic. And a division home dog, Brian Daboll, excellent head coach. I don't think you can go wrong with that one. Maybe the Cowboys blow him out, but I think you're making a valuable bet there taking the New York Giants. So, once again, Michael's week one picks to run him down. Dolphins +3, Giants +3, and the Steelers +2. Which one do you love the most?
I love the Giants the most. I think Giants the most. I worry about being on the public side with the Steelers. I love the Steelers all summer, but everybody does. I hate being on that. And I like being different. Everybody loves the Chargers. I'll take the Dolphins.
All right. And then I will be sweating out.
I mean, I'm not a contrarian better in the sense of just doing the opposite. I'm a contrarian better when it logically makes sense to do the opposite.
Which I think is a smart way to do it. Blind contrarianism is still blind, which means you can't see what's actually going on. My Circa Million week one selections, we have the graphic up for our viewing audience, but I'll read it off once again for our listeners. Browns +2.5, Buccaneers +5.5, Titans +3, Steelers +2.5, Giants +3. By the end of the day, Michael, and in fact, when we do our GM Shuffle podcast tomorrow morning, what do you think will be the big storyline from Sunday week one?
I think there'll be some upset. I think somebody will upset. Could the Rams upset Seattle? I think that'll be the storyline. And I think it'll be, you know, New England. If New England loses, it'll be, oh, my God, Belichick and the team's coming to an end.
Belichick on the hot seat, maybe?
Yeah, of course. It'll be that. Yeah, it'll be that.
We'll start writing the columns. All right, man, get your four box
set up. Who's your survivor pick, Femi? Who's your survivor pick?
That's it, the Atlanta Falcons. That's what I'm sweating out.
You took the Falcons?
I took the Falcons.
I think Baltimore's the best survivor pick.
Yeah, they could be. Probably the safest one, but you don't win survivor being safe. So we're going to go ahead and walk out on that plank and stick our neck out on a limb. All right, that is it for us here on the show. Good luck with all the bets. Brent Musburger's countdown to kickoff coming up next here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.